So I said, okay, plan B. So at some point I'm going to meet somebody and somebody's going to benefit from all she tried to, what she tried, it's like your mother tried to raise you, right? And she said, then you go out the road and somebody said, I tried to do so-and-so and now she's like, it's been kind of that time. Because a lot of ways that she wanted me to be, I wasn't. But I learned how to be some ways, some good ways, but she's not going to reap those benefits. So the next person that I fall in love with, who I grow in love with, is going to be the beneficiary of this. So I said, I can do it.
Do you feel that you will be able in the future to have a relationship that will, I mean, are you looking forward to a relationship that will go on for good?
We didn't go on for
that would be forever. Are you looking for permanence in a relationship someday? I mean, if not now, this time around, but sometime.
Yeah.
You think permanence is the kind of thing that you would like to have?
Because mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I don't mess around.
That's right. Do you think that most lesbians that you know look for permanence in their relationships? Or are only particular types of lesbians look for permanence? Or?
The way I see it, I'm sure everybody looks for permanence, but when you look at some couples and you see what they have to work with, you know it's not going to happen. You know? I mean, that's how I see it. I mean, if you look at people who come from, my belief is that you got to be with somebody who kind of sees the world the same way you do. You know, I mean, even if you come from different places, and I don't think that's so important, if, even though you come from wherever, if as you've grown older and wiser, hopefully, you know, I mean, you look at things in like a real way, you know, so if it's, you see the world the same way and I'm going in the same place, or not the same place, but kind of in the same direction, there's, you know, there's hope of, you know. If you got people who want to do this and somebody wants to mess.
Do you think that since you've been gay, that the women that you have known, like hung out with, have looked for permanence in their relationship? I mean, was the big dream of the woman that you came out with to find a girlfriend and settle down, or to
as many as possible?
Now she's only got
notches. Let me tell you, I got notches.
Mm-hmm. Using a rifle, it's so many notches.
Some of those notches, unnotch. Let me tell you. Put the chink of wood back. Really, some of the people that I wouldn't give them the time of day. Really, I mean, just such deadheads. I mean, people. People going nowhere.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, when I was younger, I mean, that's when I was younger. And a matter of speaking, I'm glad I did it when I was younger. But there's no way that now that I would be bothered with.
You think you've learned things from those people?
Yeah, mm-hmm. I learned not to do that with them.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
Yeah.
Now, these women that you would say you went with, you had, like,
yeah.
You went with them. Yeah. These were not one-night people.
No.
Okay. Well, tell me about that kind of terminology. How long does it take before you say you're going with someone? You know what I mean? And if you're with somebody for 2 weeks, are you going with her? Or does it take a month?
I don't know, see, because I was kind of strange. Because I remember, you know, people would say, you know, did you ask somebody to be a woman? I never asked anybody to be anything. You know, you wanted to call me up, then call me up, fine. Next thing I heard that this was my name. Okay, fine, because she said so, I guess that's the truth. You know, I was kind of... I never, which I don't like at this point in my life, I never really chose someone. You know, it was...
You allowed yourself to fall into what was easy?
Yeah, or whoever... People picked me. I never said, well, this is what I want, until recently. I chose it though. Because I was with a couple other folks at the time, but I chose her. And she was the first one. But all those others were, well, I kind of got like talked into it, or, you know, or I don't feel like I made a decision about being in those relationships. You know, just kind of go with the flow.
Mm. Do you think that you were like a special case, an odd case, or do you think that you happened to a lot of butches? Because you saw yourself as a butch or a stud for that period of time, right?
Well, like I said, I wasn't aggressive, and I didn't, I would never go and speak to somebody, and I would never...
Do you think most studs pick their women? They did the picking. Some women have said the opposite. That most of them, that they have seen most of them were like you, and that for some reason femmes tend to be more aggressive and homed in, you know, zeroed in on butches.
Not the butches.
Not in the same way, but they did it.
So the butches I hung around with were macho. I mean, really, really, I mean, they would just go in a bar and just talk to a person that didn't even know if she was gay or not, which I always thought was dangerous to your health. You know what I mean? I mean, those kind of people, I mean, like, I hung out with Alice. Did you know Alice? She's the kind of person who would jump up in a man's face and try to fight him. Those kind of people. So, the people I hung out, they picked.
Who did I know? The only people I knew that you were friends with were Muffin.
I just did Muffin on train station last week. She's not even true.
Well, Muffin and Nadira, of course, because they were going together.
Yeah.
And Marianne, we were going around, but I didn't know you before. Mm. I knew people you knew. You know, which individuals you're talking about.
See, nothing. I never had a line, you know, hey, baby, where you been? I mean, some of that stuff I used to hear was just so off the wall. I could not bring myself to say some, you know, stuff like that just sounded... And when I used to go out, I used to just hang in the corner or find a spot. I mean, like, I went out the other night when we went down to that bar. Where did we go?
Yeah.
I mean, see, find a perfect spot between the downstairs and so I could watch everything. I mean, that's what I did when I went out. Mm. I mean, I never, like, really... Besides the studs that I hung out with, I never really was real sociable. I mean, I never talked a lot. You know? I just kind of hung out. And the trade I got was people passing me notes or people, I mean, everybody knew under my phone number, you know, and I would get phone calls and stuff like that, you know. But I never actively pursued something.
I want to ask you something on a whole other kind of topic. there is, you said that you didn't join Mattachine because it was very white middle class, but you did join, you did become involved in Radical Lesbians and Lesbians Uniting. But also you said that a lot of those people were middle class. What was the difference?
Radical Lesbians was, first of all, I didn't know what it was.
Yeah.
Pat McCormick called me up one day and said,
"Oh, you were a kid too." Right. Yeah.
Sure did. Well, that was before. That was in, I remember that because that's when I got my new car. That was 69. That was right. That was the year before all this other.
Mm-hmm.
Right, because we had gone there and broken up. That's when I first met Margaret and all those guys, and she said, "These lesbians are having meetings." Lesbians are, for what? You know, I could not imagine why are they meeting. So, that's all. So I went to that meeting and Margaret and Mary Bush, Anita. Mary was it? Mary wasn't there that night. And I kept going because it was something to do. I mean, it was certainly no dedication then on my part. It was something new. And it was something to do. And it was, I think we met for a while, and then we didn't meet. And then they called me, like, Marion called me some months later, and then they
started Lesbian
United?
Yeah. Wasn't from South Park in spring, and then it started out again.
Yeah.
And it was 70.
Yeah. I was still working. Then I started going to Lesbian United. Well, I don't know. I probably just went because I thought that a lot of those people were just off the wall.
What were they talking about?
Theoretical. Shit. It was...
I remember the Cuban Revolution.
The dialect of sex.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, some of the stuff, it just had nothing to do with how I was living my life. You know, I mean, I used to listen to a lot of stuff because it was... I guess in some ways it was interesting to hear a different point of view,
mm-hmm.
and just to see where other people were coming from. But in a lot of ways, I was just always kind of removed from that because it had nothing to do with me.
And yet you hung around for the writing of the book on how to do it.
Oh God, that was so funny. That's when Mary and I became friends.
Yeah.
And. So Margaret was going to marry him. And Marion was trying to like me. I said, what the heck?
She had trouble. The way you phrased it.
No, I mean, well, she was with Margaret, so she wasn't supposed to like me.
Uh-huh.
So, I used to go to
them. But were the things those people trying to deal with non-monogamy and stuff?
First of all, they were non-role playing. Marion and Margaret. Tell me about it. Right. And then yeah, there was a big discussion about monogamy. So the attraction for the book was it was the year I was doing nothing, right? That's the year I took off in my life. I still get those notes, God. Wait, somebody even drew pictures. Marilyn. Marilyn Weissman. Two pictures. Mary and I. Mary and I pose. This one's good. It was something to do, and I know what else was happening there. We were speaking to a lot of classes then too. And we did the leaflet thing. It was, now that I think about it, it probably was part of my need for a new kind of stimulation. You know, it was something different. It was certainly something new. And people in the black community didn't want to hear about it. You know, and they were still doing, living their lives the same way. And I'd already done that. So it was, a lot of it was just new, just a new way to look at things. Yeah. Some ways I knew I would never give up. I could never be a new school dyke. There's no way. Because of how and where I came up. You know? I have changed in a lot of ways. I don't wear wingtips anymore. Which is significant.
Well, it is. I mean, you know, if you feel that it's a tremendous change, then it's a tremendous change.
Yeah. And I'm sure I got something from it. I'm sure I got something from it. But after a point it was
so you could take like the women's movement, which was that sort of came out of to a point, but not.
Well, see, some of it I couldn't even relate to because I was never married, I never had a boyfriend, not even I was like 15 or something. And I didn't do it with the boys, and I didn't have any kids, and some guy never hurt me, and I didn't hate men. I mean, that was what the first meeting I went to, that's all they talked about, how they hated men, you know, so.
Yeah.
Some of the stuff was out of my realm of experience.
Yeah.
I don't know.
There was another movement that might have affected your life just a few years prior to that, and that was a very, you know, large thrust, especially, well, that finally came to Buffalo after a while, and that was the Black Liberation Movement. Did that touch your life at all? Did you, were you part of it? Did you think about it?
I wasn't a part and I didn't think about it.
Mm-hmm.
Because I just accept racism as a given. So I know how to deal with that. You know, I mean I am a black person. So what else is new?
Mm-hmm.
But I see myself as being more oppressed being a lesbian.
Mm-hmm.
And black folks also oppressed lesbians.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
So it's like, first of all, I cannot join a black liberation group because they want to tell me to have some babies to make little revolutionaries. And all I can tell them is, I don't go that way.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I am not going to make babies.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's, you know, that's not a very revolutionary attitude. So what can I say?
But if you're hanging out in a white community, you don't feel that the pressure of non-whiteness is as great as the pressure of non-straightness would be in the black community. You know what I mean? It's easier to deal with racism in a lesbian community and be at least allowed to have your sexuality accepted, than it is to deal with anti-gayness in the white community and heavy racism.
Well, I just assume that 75% of the black population in Buffalo know that I am a gay person.
Mm-hmm.
Because, first of all, because I've been here all my life. Second of all, because we always went to straight bars, besides going to gay bars, we went to straight bars too. And, you know, or hung out on the streets. People just knew you, so they already knew you were gay, right? So, but when it came to, I don't know this one guy. He told me that I shouldn't be gay. This is a black guy. I shouldn't be gay. And the women's movement was just to divide black men and women. And I should get a black man, and it's ridiculous. And it's like, I mean, this man's talking about my life, how I live my life as a gay person. I should just chuck this, right? And it was, I mean, it's the black people in the black movement. I mean, that's, even though they may know you're gay, it's inconsequential. Forget about it. You know, don't oppress this man. Don't oppress this man, right? Be his woman. Stand behind him and have his babies. But being a black lesbian in the white lesbian community, I mean, I just assume that half of those people are racist. Probably all of them are racist. Half of them overtly. 25%. Other, you know.
Very small minority of them trying to work it out.
Yeah.
But I, you know, that's, but it's easier to deal with that. In the black community that is not, actively in the black movement, you don't find as much prejudice against your lesbianism? Do you think the black community accepts its lesbians better than the white community does?
Oh yeah, definitely. I think so. Because there is no black dyke that I know that, like, was coming up when I, came. They couldn't go to the house.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, and then it was like some heavy studs, you know, with men's shoes and shirts and all that kind of stuff. You know, no big deal.
Mm.
Yeah, but
you didn't hear about black lesbians getting disowned by their families?
Are you kidding? No way. Mm. No way. I mean, everybody knew everybody's mother. You know, you would hang out, or you'd call people's house or come over. Or
why? Why was it okay and why was it not okay? What's the difference?
Probably because we couldn't be disinherited because they had nothing. I mean, when you got nothing, you got nothing to lose, right? I mean, what are you going to do? Disinherit you from a welfare check? you grow up and get your own. I think it had a lot to do with class. And it, that, it had to do with class a lot, yeah. I think so, the way I see it.
How do you see that the movement has affected, well, the community in Buffalo at all? Do you think that gay liberation has done anything for Buffalo? Has it changed anything? Do you think women's liberation has done anything for lesbians in Buffalo?
I think I'm looking at the spectrum of it. And you had a big ad in there GLF coffee house or something Friday night. And I was thinking to myself, I wonder who goes to that. You know, it's still a gay liberation kind of thing on campus. Women's liberation. How I see women's liberation in the whole Buffalo community at large, gay and straight, has done nothing on the east side, the way I see it. Mm-hmm. And I think it's done nothing because when whatever was happening those years ago, nobody reached the community. Yeah, so it was what people saw as women's liberation, they saw on TV or read about, but people who wanted to do something didn't know how to go in the community and do work, right? And even if it was people in the community that wanted to come out and join or something, I'm sure they didn't know where to go. I mean, because who would come to the university? You know, I mean, unless it was people in school, the local yokels wouldn't come to school to try to be in something, you know. First of all, because they knew it would be all white people and they figured they couldn't relate anyway, on either side. Mm-hmm. Women's liberation did something for me. And I got some positive. Being a woman,
does it make you like it better? Make you more aware of it?
Well, it made me aware of that I didn't have to do or be some ways to live my life how I choose to live my life as far as being a lesbian. I didn't have to. I mean, I mostly changed how I dressed. I changed how I dressed. Some people still think I'm a boy, what can I say? And I changed some attitudes. But I'm still who I am, mostly. But those changes were positive changes, and hopefully I'll always be able to change. I'll always be flexible so that good things I'll be able to incorporate in my life and change so that I'll make me more of what I'd like to be, you know? And what did gay liberation do?
The advances? Counseling?
In terms of how I live my life, it really did nothing. Actually, it's almost zip for me because I was never in the closet. You know, so and wherever I went, I looked like this, and every job I got, I went like this, and I went to school like this. I got my present job looking like this. Mm-hmm. I go to work now looking like this. I mean, there's some principles that I will not, some compromises I will not make, no matter what.
And you don't think it's done much for the black gay community?
People still living like 10 years ago. Mm-hmm. You know, it didn't make a dent. I mean, only people that hung out actually were me and Muffin. Mm-hmm. And she's going out the world backwards, so we can't judge by her, you know. I swear. Muffin is
sweet.
That's my buddy, but I swear. I don't see where it's
Do you see that it has done much of anything for the white community, for the white community?
I think it's given people somewhere to go. Mm-hmm. Or I think it's been more supportive.
Is this Observing on the View Meter? Hello, tape. Oh, it is.
Yes, it is.
It actually, it is recording. Now, if we, why don't you read?